Welcome to Work Mom Says,
Don't Be an Idiot.
And now, here's your host, Work Mom.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lori Jo Vest. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Work Mom Says, Don't Be an Idiot. Today, we are going to talk about the impact of technology on interpersonal skills and emotional intelligence. I met the coolest guy on LinkedIn. I was just blown away by just who he is online. And I watched his videos. His name is Justin Allen. He's with Hunter Engineering. And I was watching his videos and I was like, oh my God, you need to be on Work Mom Says. So I reached out to Justin and said, okay, tell me who you are and what you do. I think you might make a really great podcast guest. And so we start talking about it and oh my God, he's perfect for this show and this audience. Hi, Justin, how are you?
Hey, Lori, I'm doing great. I hope you are today.
Absolutely. And as we started talking, I realized that Justin is really tuned in with the young adults that he works with on the impact of technology and how it teaches you things that may not work in real life, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Justin, give us a little bit of background. Tell us about yourself.
Hey, well, okay. My name is Justin Allen. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I grew up working on anything and everything I could get my hands on. My dad was a Bob Vila fan, I guess, right? So we grew up.
I love it.
Working on the house, working on the cars, working on the bicycles, and just was fortunately blessed with a father who had a can-do attitude with those kind of things. And so we were just taught to fix things. Why would you pay somebody to fix it if you could do it yourself? And I think it created a curiosity about how things work, right? And so here, 51 years later, I am very blessed to be able to help other people understand how things work and kind of pay that on, right? I work for Hunter Engineering Company as a regional trainer for North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And almost every day, I get to be in front of humans that are nervous or anxious or confused about something that they're expected to do, and they don't know what they're doing necessarily. And it's creating a lot of stress and anxiety on their parts, and I get to try to turn that stuff around, and I love it.
I can tell. I could tell when we talked on the prep call before this recording. You have this really like passionate desire to help other people. I mean, that's just obvious. Mm. Where does that come from?
Honestly, I'd say it comes from my parents. It comes from my parents. I was very fortunate to grow up in an environment with supportive and encouraging parents. I'm the middle of three children, so naturally I'm the best one. And so my parents loved me the most. And I'm just kidding. It was just a neat thing to have people saying, go get it. Like, you want to do that? Let's go try it. Like, what's holding you back? You know, give it a shot. And there's a lot of humans that don't come from that environment. You know, there's a lot of people that are being held back or something, whether by parents or peers or coworkers or their friend group telling them not, why bother doing that? You'll never succeed. You know, there's a lot of that kind of negativity. I got it. I'd say I really got it from my parents and honestly their parents before them. And I don't know how to have opportunity and keep it to myself, I guess.
Love
I
that.
Would say, you know,
love that. We need more people like you in the world, Justin. Let me tell
I
you,
agree.
We need more people like you in the world.
Not necessarily like me, but at least with a heart, right? Yeah. We don't need a bunch of, I can rattle off my toxic self-talk. I could rattle off here for you right now, but no, you're right. We need encouragers.
We all have that negative self-talk, right?
It hides in there, yeah.
It's, you know, all those little voices in our heads. Guess what? You're not the only one. Listeners, you are not the only ones who have voices in your head.
That's it. We're on this ride together.
Yep. Exactly. So, Justin, you work with a lot of young adults, right? Now, tell me a little bit more about the type of training you do with them that's maybe not EQ-based. So what are you typically training them on?
Right, absolutely. And so for people who don't know, Hunter Engineering Company is an automotive industry. We produce equipment that allows shops all over the world to take better care of you and your car. So tire changers and balancers, alignment machines, brake lathes, things associated with advanced driver assist system technology. We don't do a lot of different things, but we try to do them very well. And so one of the ways we try to help it help people utilize them very well is to provide training for them as well. And so I train in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And it is largely two younger technicians that are trying to get into a field that doesn't have a good funnel. We don't have a very good funnel into our industry, helping people with the natural skills or at least the curiosity or whatever to go into it. We just don't have a good funnel. And so we're taking anyone and everybody that we can get our hands on and trying to help them be more comfortable with it. So for me specifically, it's helping them understand technically, like, how does this hardware work and how does the software work and how do I physically make adjustments on a vehicle or change that tire appropriately to be as efficient and safe as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. And it's I actually have a son that works in the automotive dealer environment service area as well. And it's a great place to work. I mean, he can do so well for himself.
Sure.
And people often don't think of it as a career option unless you know someone who's doing it, right?
Right, so, right. And I've been in the automotive industry for 28 years at this point and had a number of different roles in it. And that's part of what's fun too. You know, I am a professionally trained theater kid who went to college for theater stuff. And I landed in an industry that I didn't necessarily expect to. I love cars. I love people. And those are the two things that brought me there. And there's just in any industry, I think if you just show up and you want to learn more and you want to grow and you want to take care of people, they're going to find a way to make that work. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it is a great industry and people can come in and start changing oil in cars. And next thing you know, they're managing a store and then they're overseeing a bunch of stores, or maybe they move into airline mechanic work or whatever, right? Like almost everything on earth is going to be dependent on some kind of motorized transport mechanism to make it functional. And so, yeah, there's a lot of humans to turn wrenches. And anybody who wants to come and join us, come on, we got you. We got space for you.
There is room. And you might start as a porter, driving cars around the lot.
That's right.
You know, or taking customers home when they are, you know, waiting for their car to be repaired.
Yeah,
and you can rise up through the ranks, which is pretty awesome. It's unusual in that way, right?
Absolutely.
One of the things we talked about when we were on our call is the not only do you train them with, you know, the technical skills to work with the equipment and in the field, but you also kind of inadvertently end up dealing with some of the emotional intelligence challenges that this generation coming up has, right?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
When did you connect it to technology?
Well, I have 6 children of my own as well. So I see, and my kids are in age range from 18 to 25 right now. And so a lot of the people I work with are in a similar age category. And I get to see the struggles and challenges that they face from my own home vantage point and watching social things where you go off to school events or whatever. And then seeing these technicians that are drawn to the glowing boxes in their pockets, just like you and I are in a lot of cases, right? The humans all enjoy the glowing, shiny boxes. And so just in that classroom environment, it's easy for all of us to get distracted by those kind of things. And so I found from an education point that, man, you got to keep moving. You got to keep them engaged, right? Because I think the TikTokification of entertainment has given us all a shorter attention span. Mm-hmm. And it's a very relevant thing to know that you're up against it when you're trying to teach people, I would say.
Oh yeah. Especially adults. You can't say, leave your phone at home.
Right. Of course.
They're adults.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. So it's
multiple. What I thought was really interesting is the, and I've heard this because I have younger team members too, that technology has taught our 20 somethings some interesting habits that work in you know, virtual reality, but not necessarily in real reality,
right?
Like avoiding things, avoiding conflict,
right?
You know, blocking someone or muting something,
and
that has caused some kind of emotional things that are I didn't think were expected.
Sure.
I didn't realize that the tie was so close until this group of kids, you know, became adults and start entering the workforce.
Yeah. I mean, you figure the people that really started to get impacted directly in their human interactions by the social media things, right? I think I got on Facebook in 2008. Mm-hmm. I think so. And they talk about the children that were born around 2001, 2003. You get to 2011, 12, 13, or whatever, and they were of an age where they were getting their hands on phones, right? Because the parents, my generation, was unfortunately pretty quick to pass over that thing because it was so magical and it could calm that kid down at dinner out or something like this. Like, we created a monster by passing these off to the kids when they were younger.
Yeah.
Because they started to learn some tricks about it. One of the things would, of course, be the fact that they didn't have to, if they didn't like anything, just move on past it. There's always something else. There's always more entertainment or something else to engage you with that whole dopamine engine that the internet can be. But they also learned on social media that if something got awkward between you and somebody else, you could simply, with a couple of taps of a finger on the screen there, you could just block them. You didn't have to talk about it. You didn't have to engage in awkward conversation or anything else like that. You may never have to see them in person again, but you could certainly block them online. And it is funny, like, on the one hand, we know certainly that if somebody in your life is being abusive and hateful and creating chaos in your life, it's great to be able to block them. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of the social skill development with people who actually are in your life, that maybe family members or students that you're in school with or whatever, in real life, you can't do that quite the same, right? Mm-hmm. I can't be angry with my child and just block them at home and never have to interact with them. Not in a way that's healthy for a relationship, right?
No.
One thing probably for me to block somebody who lives in Australia and say, you know what, I don't ever want to see how nice your house is again. I don't ever want to compare myself to you ever again. But that notion of how easy it was and is to ignore something that you don't like,
yeah,
it doesn't relate to real life. It doesn't relate to actual human interaction. Would you agree?
It doesn't. It does not. And I think, too, one of the things that came up for me is that the technology literally teaches you to make discomfort disappear. And that's everybody, even to the point where, and I know I do this, I'm standing in line somewhere. I'm a little bored. Bam, there goes the phone. I'm not bored anymore. I'm entertained. Yeah. And so any type of tiny, tiny discomfort from boredom to, oh, I'm just annoyed. You're annoyed with somebody, so you block them.
Yeah.
Mm. So you don't get to me, like you mentioned, the emotional skills development, because you're not engaging. But when it comes to your boss,
right,
your coworkers,
I mean, that turned into that quiet quitting idea of work too, right?
Yeah.
To just kind of just don't engage anymore, don't participate anymore, or whatever. And it's interesting to be of an age where we have seen this entire experience. We've got the analog life before.
Yep.
Right. And then we saw this transition and our generation, you and I, we got excited. This has been fun. There's been a lot of fun stuff that we could see and do and engage in. And then now we're seeing these strange ramifications on the actual humans and their interaction. And
yes,
it is challenging. It's hard to imagine how it works next, kind of. You know, we're moving, you and I, we know we're moving into an era where we can't believe anything we see on the internet anymore, period. Because the imagery, it cracks me up that they're trying to make it and trying to act like it's actually going to be functional to make sure that you label anything created as AI. Make sure it has a little label on it, letting people know it's AI.
Eyes rolling out of the back of my head?
I know. Like, it's like telling her, hey, what if we told everybody to wash their hands after they use the bathroom? That'll fix it. Put a sign up.
That'll work.
It'll fix it.
Oh, God.
Same idea. And so we literally can no longer believe anything that we see or hear on the internet. So that's fascinating in and of itself. But the poor humans, these younger people that are afraid to order food at a drive-thru. And I say afraid, that's a little bit exaggeratory. You know, Gen Xers, we like to think we're kind of tough, but we created these children. And I think, what did we, like, it was snowplow parenting and helicopter parenting, all of these things that we did to make it easier for them. It might just backfire. It might just backfire.
So other false lessons, instant feedback. You get instant feedback. These are things that tech teaches young people or has taught you. We're talking to the young people. Tech has taught you things that you now need to unlearn.
Yeah.
Instant feedback, right?
And not only feedback, but you're craving that positive feedback. We're only posting things that we think are going to receive positive feedback because that feels good. People like positive feedback. And so, I like where you talk about boredom. Like, we're doing anything we can do to possibly not feel a moment of quiet and boredom. We're doing anything to contort our bodies and our positions to capture that golden hour sunlight in that particular outfit hopefully so many of our friends are going to click that little heart button on Instagram or whatever, and the kids, this is what's fascinating. And I'm sure that it applies to the adults to a degree, but the problem that we have with the youth today dealing with things like anxiety and depression is because, strangely, our brains believe whatever we see and hear. They believe it. And so they see friends all over the place, all of their images on Instagram make it look like they're having a glorious time. And so the kids believe that. Like, look at how great my kids' lives are, my friends' lives are, even though they know how hard they work to make it look great when it isn't great. So they know that their story, they know that their Instagram, all their stuff, they know it's curated nonsense and it's all kind of fake. It might be 10% of the good times in their life, but it's not showing the bad stuff. So even though they know that's what they're doing, they see other people and they don't filter it that way.
Right.
They genuinely believe that this other person has a life that's so much better than mine. And my life is miserable compared to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's heartbreaking, really.
It really is. That's why I love the people that, like, purposefully put themselves out there ugly. There's this one woman that she does this thing where she calls it chinning, and she takes pictures of herself with as many chins as she can have for Instagram. It's hilarious. That's one thing that I'm seeing maybe will help us turn this tide is the overly perfect AI slop makes authentic things and visuals so much more appealing. Because your brain knows it's not real, and your brain kind of goes,
Yeah. So. And I'm with you. Right now, we can still see that difference.
Exactly.
I'm not sure where it is in 5 years. That's what I'm afraid of, honestly. It's going to keep advancing, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's a little frightening. Crazy. It's a little frightening because we don't really know what's going to go, and it's not all that.
I
just saw something, a company that did, what did they do? They did dashboards for rental car places. Okay. And it's one of those where that rental car place uses that software, like it's their life's blood.
Yeah.
And the AI agent deleted everything. And the only way they could back it up was from a 3-year-old backup. Because it deleted everything, including the backup. And then it laughed kind of like, look what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be crazy. Yeah. But back to our topic.
Right.
What do you think these problems or these challenges and these, unique, I guess you could say, inabilities to actually practice some of these emotional skills, what is that causing? And are the young adults aware of it? Do they know it's a problem?
I mean, there's so much data. There's so much fascinating data out there about social interaction among younger people. The things that are happening, they're not. I only heard this a couple of days ago, and I thought it was intriguing. The young people aren't dancing. You want to know why? Because somebody's going to record it. And if they look awkward, then it's going to be all over social media.
Isn't
that an interesting thought?
Can I just say that? That sucks.
It's like that whole, like we've grown up seeing posters and motivational things that say dance like nobody's watching. And now the fear is dance and somebody's going to record you and everybody's going to see it.
Oh my God.
And it turns out like teenagers are a little bit insecure about their body images and stuff sometimes, right? And the last thing they want is that stuff regurgitated all over TikTok or Instagram. And that's what happens. And so the kids are literally not dancing as much. I mean, it's not that no kids are dancing, but there's not as much dancing going on for that kind of a reason. Yeah. And like teen pregnancies and stuff are down, which is great news. That's great.
But until it's because you talk about
kids
why,
aren't interacting. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's because they're afraid of each other. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, there's
it's
a big gap too. What I'm finding, I think I talked about this with another friend over, we were talking about a project he's working on and how young men will often be really, really confident based on their online experiences, and, you know, their favorite game and how they're like at the top of the chart and they're like, they're on Twitch and they're just killing it and it's great. And then they get out in the real world and their job sucks and they're not happy. And that gap of those personal skills that they supposedly are using online that you have to develop for in person. And so to me, what can we tell young people that will actually help them?
Oh, gosh. That is a great, wouldn't it be nice to have the thing to tell young people that you knew would help them and then they would actually listen to you and do it?
Wouldn't
that
be neat? Yeah, they might or might not. I don't know.
I know. My children, we went through COVID with six teenagers and they would kind of come and go from the house because we're a blended family and stuff. But oh my goodness, the laying around on the couch and the watching YouTube all day and the misery of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Was, you know, kids, you don't need a whole lot to feel better than you do right now, but you're going to need to physically move your body and you're going to need to find some kind of purpose. And what are you going to do with it? And on the like the interaction with other humans front, the younger generation, not just my kids, but these younger generations are so it's so easy to sit on your couch and scroll through social media dating apps or something. Yeah. Right. That's easy to do. And you're going to see some interesting things that look interesting and all these pictures that aren't telling the truth about what people actually look like. Now add AI, sprinkle some AI into that. That's going to get weird. And I tell these kids, like, listen, you know the things you're saying about yourself online, again, and you know that's not necessarily really the whole truth about things. It's nice to paint a pretty picture. Mm-hmm. But if you will go somewhere where humans actually are, and you can observe that human across the room, and you can maybe go ahead and assess what is or isn't true about that person to some degree,
right?
And then go over and talk to them. It's okay. You're allowed to talk to people. Think of something you enjoy doing, if that's hiking or playing chess or board games or, you know, going to casual theater outside, whatever it is. And go do it with the actual people. Get in a church, join a bicycling club. Like, it doesn't really matter. Find something where humans are that are doing something that you find interesting. And that's going to be a lot more rewarding than sitting on the couch and trying to scroll through Tinder for humans. Yeah, it's wild.
And one of the things that I would say is going to accompany that kind of initiative is discomfort. Start to think of discomfort as a feature of life, not a bug. Okay.
Yeah,
because
the
more, I mean, I remember hearing this when I was in my 40s and somebody said, get comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's
because
it.
If you want to grow,
that's where the growth happens.
And if you want to make something happen, you can't be afraid to pick up the phone. You can't be afraid to walk in and talk to strangers.
Yeah.
If you want to really make something happen with your life, even if you just want to make a really nice life happen for yourself, that's just what you want it to be, you have to engage with other people and create connected, positive relationships.
Yeah.
And learning how to do that is really important. And like what you just said, joining groups, going to networking events, if you're using as, you know, if you're strictly listening to business, go to networking events.
Mm-hmm.
Show up, promise yourself you're going to talk to three people, and do it, for push yourself through it, because the more you do it, the easier it gets.
And that is a tough thing for a lot of people, to show up to a room of strangers and go talk to people.
Yeah.
And so the encouragement I'll always give anybody is like, listen, you're going to walk in that room and it's really easy to spot the people that are right at home. They're the loud ones. They're already got two or three people around them. They're having a great time. look for the people that also look like they're not really all that comfortable. That's a great place to start. You know, exactly. That, do you think they're happy to be there not talking to anybody? Probably not. Now, my wife, who is dramatically more introvert than I am, she's like, no, you don't understand. If they're not talking to anybody, it's because they don't want to talk to anybody. I don't agree with that. I don't think in that kind of an environment, they actually want to just stand there and look all alone.
Right.
And if you walk up to them and you introduce yourself and they reveal through their behavior that they genuinely just want to be left alone, that's easy to read. Well, right. That's easy for me to read. I don't know about these young people, because they don't read facial expression and they don't read things like sarcasm the same way. I've noticed that the young people they're so accustomed to reading text communication that any elevated tone is perceived as yelling. There's a lot of range between elevating tone and yelling. There's a lot of other stuff in between there, possibly, right? And
I've heard proper grammar can be perceived as being aggressive.
Hostile. Yeah, punctuation, capitalized words. Ooh. Yeah, and that is challenging to work with.
Yeah.
When we're, you know, I'm comfortable with the evolution of the English language and stuff too, but you got to agree on some baseline functionality of things like punctuation, I would imagine. It's okay.
And it doesn't mean what they're saying it means. You know what I mean? It might mean that in their group, but then when you get outside of that little age group that you hang with, you're going to. And the other thing I would say too is intergenerational relationships, I think, are really important, and we don't put enough emphasis on it. That having friends that are in their, like I'm 62, having friends that are in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 80s, because that you're going to learn more. You're going to be developing those skills, those human skills, you know?
Right. Yeah. And what do you do when you're a generation that you don't have to talk to anybody to learn anything, because you can learn it all on YouTube. You can learn it all on TikTok. Why would you talk to anybody? Right.
Because
there's a lot you can learn a lot. Yeah. I agree. You can. And the history, I agree. It's much more interesting, but that's a lot of their logical perception. And I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You want to learn about any topic at all, just go Google it. You'll find all kinds of stuff. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's easier for them to be like, why would I bother? I think a sad way that this is impacting us all is the notion of like family reunions and stuff is vaporizing rapidly, because why do I need to go see my cousins in person? Because I watch them on Facebook all the time. Like, I see what they're doing. What's the big deal? And it isn't the same. No.
Yeah.
And that idea of the ease and convenience of the internet, it's impacting everything for sure.
Yeah. I think it does make things a lot shallower.
Yeah.
If you are just seeing your cousin online, go visit your cousin. I can promise you. Pick up the phone, call them, say, we're going to meet halfway for dinner, or I'm going to fly in for the weekend. And you will have a much deeper experience than you will just looking at on Facebook, right?
But again, these young people, all too often we see pictures of like family gatherings where everybody's staring at their phone. It is tricky.
We've got to get out of that. I mean, I know there's little pockets of people that are starting to go back to flip phones that don't have all the internet stuff on them and all that.
Yeah.
I think we've passed that. That's water. I mean, it's too late.
You know, if the mustache only look can come back in society the way it has lately, like the pendulum is always swinging, Lori. It is always swinging. And so I want to believe that in terms of social interaction, the, you know, COVID and all that stuff, I think the pendulum swung as far as it could possibly go. Well, for the moment, in terms of like limiting human interaction. And as the COVID stuff cleared up, there was hunger for human interaction and it started coming back. And I think that moment will come. I have found from my children, this is what I thought was interesting. For you and I, when cell phones came out, the moment came where we could text, and texting became efficient and quick and easy, an easy way to not have to have a long phone call. Let's just really quick. I just need to know what you plan to wear to dinner tomorrow. Just tell me, is it jeans and a sweater? Or are we dressing up? What's going on? And you could have a quick yes or no answer and do things like that. And texting was about efficiency. And so these children grew up and they were fascinated by texting because they could communicate with friends or whatever. And so they liked texting, but their phones never had any audible alerts on them or anything. So you never really knew what they were doing.
Right.
And now, and my kids, I'm talking about my 20 plus year old kids, they crave phone calls. They don't want to text anymore. Not with us. They want to be spoken to. And I'm so excited about that possibility because they've told me. I literally had to be like, listen, you guys aren't responding to my text messages, so I don't know what to do. Like, what is your preferred method of communication?
Right.
And they would much rather have a phone call or FaceTime. And that thrills me.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Now, I'd love to wrap up with the piece of advice that we talked about from Dory. Tell me, yeah. This is so good. This is so good.
Well, as a human who has had some ups and downs, you know, I have sat on the front porch in the rain waiting and hoping somebody would come home to see me. I've been through the divorce and had to walk away from my kids crying in the front door, just brutal, awful moments. And Dory in Finding Nemo, I think, really summed up what is my philosophy in life, because we're all going to have chapters, some of which are heartbroken chapters. Some of them are working three job chapters. Some of them are just flat broke, got no money chapters, or frustration at work. All of these kind of chapters happen to everybody. Everybody you know has had bad times, right? And I believe you just got to keep swimming. You just got to keep pushing and waking up and brushing your teeth and doing the things. It's not, if you have a vision for what you want your life to be like, it's really not that hard when presented with a choice. Which way do I go? And I'm gonna be extreme in my jokery here for just a second. I want to be a successful business person. I want to have a lot of people who respect me and think I'm doing a good job. Do I smoke the crack or do I not? Like, it's not a complicated decision. And a lot of choices really are that way. If you know where you're headed,
yeah.
And do I gamble away all that money on the internet, or do I go to work tomorrow and do the right thing or whatever? Like, it's just not that complicated. Just keep trying to do the best you can. And if you make a choice and things are miserable, congratulations, you're allowed to make another choice. Thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness, right?
Take the lesson and move along, right? Take the lesson
and move along. There's another chapter waiting for you. And if hopefully it's going to go great and be amazing, but maybe it doesn't. That's okay. There's another chapter coming after that. Keep laying the bricks, lay that foundation to get to whatever it is you want to do, you know, because you're not as stuck as you think you are. I had a student in class just last week that had moved. I want to say he moved from like Alabama or something. No, he was up north and moved to Alabama when he was 20 years old. And he admitted that it was because things were rough back at home. It did not go well and he was miserable. Yeah. And he started a whole new life. And he was, you know, 40 years old or so now and was very pleased with how it turned out. You know, if you are miserable, maybe the choice, as painful as it sounds, is a bus ticket and you go to some other town and you start over. Like, you're allowed to do that. And staying miserable under miserable circumstances is a tough way to live.
It is.
You know, you could do that, but there may be less misery somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I was in my 20s, I think about every 7 or 8 years, I would change everything. New job, new boyfriend, new apartment, new car.
Yeah.
New neighborhood, the whole thing. And so you can start over. I love the ending on that because it's so true. Yeah. So yeah. Justin, tell me how people can find you if they want to find you on these interviews.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I love to connect with people that are looking for positive opportunities in life and to be encouraging and whatever, people who feel like that, like, when would I'll never be encouraging. My life is miserable. Well, come on, plug in. Let's have a good time. You never know, right? I am found on most social media, which is hilarious when we talk about like the evils of it. It's as good or evil as you want it to be, right? Like, you can find as much good in it as you want to. And so I choose to be a force for good out there if I can. And it is my first initial is the letter J, and then my last name Allen, and then the word Hunter. You'll find me as J. Allen Hunter. I'm just about everything. But you and I on LinkedIn, it's just plain old Justin Allen, and that is sufficient.
I love it. Follow Justin. Seriously, you'll get a happier, you'll have a happier day every time you see any of his content. So
thank you.
Again, I'm Lori Jo Vest. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Work Mom Says. If you are watching on YouTube, please do me a favor. Give us a subscribe, a like, maybe even a share. And we'll be back soon with another episode of Work Mom Says to help you learn how to play the emotional contact sport of business so you experience less drama and more success. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Work Mom Says,
Don't Be an Idiot.
For more information, you can email Work Mom at LORIWorkMomSays.com. That's Lori at WorkMomSays.com. And remember,
don't be an idiot.